by being Christians alongside other Afghanis, they would impart something of the joy and what it means to be a Christian. Now, we don't know what has happened to those people who've had that contact. Some of the people who have closest contact as translators and as people in the forces and in the security forces, they are facing a very, very, very dangerous, worrying time if they're still alive. But other people who have come across the message of the Lord Jesus, it will depend upon them to spread that word. And it won't be through an imposing force from outside under the Americans. It won't be through the Western force that is keeping the peace. They will spread the word because they want to. Because Jesus is the only way. He is the only truth. He is the only life. He is the source of our joy. He is the God creator of all things. And he has stooped down to redeem us from the terrible misery and mess that we are making on this earth. All around the world, we have people who are turning to Jesus. And I trust that at this present time, people are turning to Jesus in Afghanistan like at no other time in the past. Because we know that at times of persecution, the church grows. We have it in the book of Acts, that the church actually grew under persecution. And somehow, we trust that that church will grow under persecution. We can help. We can help. It is amazing, isn't it, that we can sit here, we can be here in Goldthorpe, and we can actually help people out there. We have to take on prayers. We have to pray for these people. And it can be very difficult to pray. There's all kinds of challenges and interruptions to our own prayers. But when we pray for these people in other countries, we're praying outside of our own interests. We're praying for other people. And we are putting our trust in the power of the living God, the power of the Lord Jesus, the power of the cross of Christ, the power of the cross of Christ in our lives and in their lives, to raise them up from the situation they are in and give them that real secure hope that one day all this will end. One day eternity will come. The power of the resurrection is three words that come to me in coming here. We have to recognize in our own lives the power of the resurrection. And we have to claim for others in other parts of the world the power of the resurrection. Now, I'm here to represent Open Doors. And Open Doors started with a man who's now known as Brother Andrew. When he was at Bible College in Glasgow, he wondered what kind of ministry he could have. 1955, he noticed that there was a student gathering in Warsaw, Poland. He thought he'd go to it. He went there with some bits of literature about being a Christian. He thought it would be a good idea. He got there, gave out some bits of literature, and nobody had heard of the Lord Jesus. Nobody had thought the Lord Jesus was significant. It's probably a bit like this country today. In one way, we can see how things have deteriorated. But he looked for a Bible shop. He couldn't find a Bible shop. He found one shop that seemed to sell Bibles, but it was closed. When he was leaving, one of a Christian there said, "Come again. Next time, bring Bibles with you." So he did that. And he made that his ministry, to bring Bibles from England to Eastern Europe. And we recognise that image of him with a beetle, VW Beetle, and he packed it tight with Bibles. He had to get through the customs checks, he had to get through the legal checks, he had to get through all kinds of bureaucracy. But he trusted in the power of the living God. When he got to the borders, he would often face very high security. Very often they'd say, take everything out of the vehicle. And he would pray, Lord, make these seeing eyes blind. You can make blind eyes see. Now make these seeing eyes blind. And one day, facing the situation, he took everything out and he put the Bibles at the front. And he prayed, Lord, make these seeing eyes blind. And he was told to put everything back in his car and drive through. As he drove through the barrier, he was looking through his rear view mirror and the wing mirrors to see if there's anybody going to stop him. Nobody stopped him. And time again, situations like that would happen. And he was able to take thousands and thousands of Bibles into Eastern Europe. Until the story of Brother Andrew doing this was published. From that point on, he knew he could no longer go into Eastern Europe. But what a powerful work that is, to get the living Word of God into the Eastern Bloc countries. We remember those countries, don't we? We remember how close they were. And today, it is still very difficult for Christians in those countries for various reasons. But the most important thing was to get the source of the information about Jesus into the country so that people could start to read. I have myself tried to do a little bit of Bible smuggling. I went to one country, which I'm not going to mention. I've been there three times for the same purpose. But I went the first time I was doing it, obviously, desperately, concerned, worried, prayerful. Desperately prayerful, because I didn't want to be locked up. Church praying for me, not a big church, but praying for me. And I kind of felt, in a sense of peace. And as I waited for the bag to come through this very complicated system, I could see it coming through. You know when things come off the aeroplane, coming through the system, and we wait for our bags, and then we've got to walk through customs. I picked my bag up. And I looked round, and it looked as though there were not many people there back at the customs check. I thought, it is great. I can just make it. I can just be off now. And so I did. I walked with my bag, pulled it behind me, and then all of a sudden, men in grey suits came out almost in pairs from different directions. And so I ended up having to walk through all these different officials. It was like a crowd of people. There must have been about 10 there that I had to walk between with my bag, and not one of them stopped me. I think that is the power of the living God answering our prayers. And I'm so grateful for that. Praise you, Lord, of heaven in the highest. And it has been my delight to work with some great, wonderful people who are living in countries where there is significant persecution and oppression. China is a country where open doors in the communist era, when it was under Mao Zedong, was able to get Bibles in through various means in different ways. And one day they decided to get a lot of Bibles in. Let's get 1 million Bibles. And so a ship came one night. I'm not sure the date. I should know the date. And I think it was 86, June 86. A ship came, a cargo ship came to a distant port. Well, not a distant port, a distant headland in China. And there were Christians ready to offload all these Bibles, packs of Bibles, and they managed in one night to get 1 million Bibles off that ship and then distribute them around China. China is a country where there's been an immense growth of Christians at such a speed. It's like the biggest explosion of Christianity the world has ever known in China. But the present day time is one where they're using digital means to oppress the Christians all churches must take down their crosses and put up a picture of President Xi and Mao Zedong together. To take down the crosses, and all churches are to have video cameras so that people who are Christians can have their movements and their activities and their identities monitored. It's getting increasingly difficult, China, now, under President Xi, extremely difficult. But whilst the Chinese authorities have digital means, Christians have digital means for telling people about the Lord Jesus. Because on a small SD card, you can get a whole Bible and more. And you can put an SD card into your phone or into your laptop and you can have the riches of God's word in a very simple, easy to access form. Although you do need a laptop and you do need to be able to press the keys in the right kind of way. But many young people are taking to Christianity because they hear through digital means, online sources. They discover Jesus through online sources. Many people are discovering Jesus through online sources and then looking for other Christian fellowships. There's many stories to be told, but often looking at one story, one video that Open Doors has got, where a woman in North Africa becomes a Christian because she discovered Christianity online and then sought out a group of Christians. Then you've got to work out. The group of Christians got to work out, is this a genuine believer or is this some plant from the authorities? It is a risky time. But as we are concerned about them and as we are also concerned about our own difficulties, we also, all of us, trust the Lord Jesus. Trust him, his presence, the power of his resurrection in our own lives and in their lives to bring us through this moment, every moment of the day, and to bring us through to that eternity which is there for us. I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. We are his children. We are his friends. We are his disciples. We have an eternity with Christ. Now, I've got another video now, but I'd just like to say, in another little story, very very quickly, about Egypt. The people who could get jobs in Cairo have been over the past 100 years or so more. Have not particularly been the Christians. In fact, many Christians have found that they could not get jobs at all, so they've had to collect the rubbish. And when they collect the rubbish, they can get a bit of money for collecting the rubbish, and they can also recycle the rubbish and get some money. And one of the great ways of recycling the money for Christians was to get a pig and feed the pig with the food waste. The pig would grow, they could live off, and they could have more pigs. But it was decided in the early 70s that we don't want all these Christians with their rubbish and their pigs all around the city of Cairo. Let's put them all out. There's a place out there at Mokattam, under the mountain of Mokattam. Let's put them all out there, and there they can come in their carts and they can go and come get some, come and sort the rubbish out for us. So that's what they did. That's what the authorities did. So these people who are nominally Christians, not really Christians, they were not alive as Christians, they were actually drinking a lot, fighting a lot, and on drugs, many of them, would barely build their houses and come in for some more rubbish so they could get some money for their drinking. Until one man, Siman, decided he was called by God to go to these people who are the nominal Christians in Mokattam. He didn't want to do that. He thought God should be calling him to do something else. And he was a bit like Jonah. He wanted to go the other way, but God was saying, no, you go to the rubbish people, the garbage people, the Zabalin of Cairo. Zabalin means rubbish collectors. So he went there. He told them, he had nothing, no social program. He just told them about Jesus, about the love of God in Jesus Christ. And people became Christians. People recognized that there is a living God. And even in their rubbish, they could believe, they can trust in Jesus. They were able to get together and form little churches. They started to clear out some of the caves, and now they've got some of the biggest churches in North Africa, in the Middle East. One of them holds 70,000 people, just there in Cairo. But you have to go through the rubbish dump to get to it. Now, very often they have Muslims coming to church services there. And very often people are converted to Jesus. And very often, they face massive repercussions, particularly as a Muslim coming to Jesus. They can lose their inheritance, they can lose their marriage, they can lose their jobs. And so often, I'm told by one old man there, that when they do that, when this happens to them, when this devastation happens, they say, but I have Jesus. But I have Jesus. And this is what we can say today, but I have Jesus. In all our situations, and when our aches and pains come, and when all the kind of difficulties that tell us that this is a short life, we can say, but I have Jesus. Now, Open Doors seeks to serve Christians around the world in any way they are asking. They may want trauma counselling. They may want microloans so they can get a cow or a goat or something, so they can be economically supported. They may need food parcels, and deliveries of food parcels come through local Christians. The supply chain is very short. We go to Christians that we know, and know as really good Christians, and would break bread with, would kind of suffer together, and they give it to other Christians who they know, and they give their food or money. Trauma counselling, all kinds of trauma counselling is necessary in this day and age, but it is so important that people are healed of their wounds, or recognise in their wounds they have a friend called Jesus. India, who was a Christian, had her husband beaten up because he was a pastor. Sadly, he died. But Vinita was also ill and in desperate need. And it was Open Doors that provided the medical treatments for her so that she could live, so that she could continue. And it's through partners in different countries that Open Doors works, trusted partners to supply the needs of fellow Christians. Now, we can pray. Let us just finish in prayer for the persecuted Christians. But let us also remember that if we can do something, it's as well to do it. I was so impressed by the story of this church and how it came to be. It cost every last penny, but much more was given. You gave, and the Lord gave more. So let us pray for these people, and let us pray for the work of Open Doors, and we'll finish there. Lord our God, we thank you that you give us your power, the power of the resurrection. We to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done for us. And that power of the resurrection that has brought him alive from the grave. And in him we can know our life today as part of the kingdom of God, and our life that will go on eternally. We praise you, Lord, for all you have done, all you've done in Christ Jesus and continue to do. And we praise you, Lord, that you have shone your light into our lives, into this community here, into Goldthorpe community. The people of Goldthorpe illuminated, have the grace of God shining upon them through a local church. And we praise you, Lord, that you shine your light through each and every individual here and each and every individual Christian around the world. Those persecuted in very difficult and desperate circumstances, we pray for them at this present time. We ask you, our God, to reach out into those lives. We ask you, our God, to bring comfort, the presence of your Holy Spirit, the presence of the Lord Jesus, holding them up, bearing them up. And we ask you, Lord, that work of open doors can be assisted and can be guided and can be directed in the right kind of way, so that Christ Jesus himself is proclaimed, that Christ Jesus is known, that the power of the resurrection is what we hold on to, is recognized, is shining like a light in this dark world. We praise you, our God, and thank you. Thank you for this day. We thank you as you go with us, go with each one of us, and go with our work, our work locally, our work individually, and our work in the service of others through prayer, through our brothers and sisters in Christ, to the glory of the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.